Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this beautiful Sabbath day, the 28th of September, 2024. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship today. Praise God for bringing us safely through another week. And before we get into our study book, please join with me for opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for your great love, for your watchful care, your tenderness towards each one of us, and for doing everything possible to seek and to save the lost. We pray that your presence will be here in our midst, for we meet here in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We pray, dear Savior, that your presence will be here as well. And, dear Spirit, we also ask for your presence to be here. Father, we desire all the blessings that you have available in meeting here and fellowshipping with others of like faith and worshiping you from whom all blessings flow. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will work upon our hearts, take away custom and tradition, preconceived ideas and opinions, and all the barriers that prevent us from receiving the rich, bountiful blessings from on high. Especially, open our understanding and let us see things we may have never understood before. Let our memory be sharp, be retentive, and bring it back to mind the lessons of truth that we hear and read so that we may ponder on them in the future and allow them to become more deeply rooted in our heart. We pray that you will be with all of those who have asked for prayers or whom we said we would pray for. Please undertake each petition according to thy perfect will, granted in thy perfect timing, and let your decision be such that the welfare of the individual may be more preserved and appreciated. Thank you so very much for having an interest in each one of our lives. And for it being one day closer to being with you forevermore. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and also welcome to those that are listening to the recording and joining us on the phone. Glad to have each one of you here with us. And we are continuing in chapter 25 of Christ Object Lessons in the subsection Other Talents. And this whole chapter is dealing with talents. We've explored some of them, and now we're going to have greater detail and insight into specific talents. And praise God for the spirit of prophecy. And we left off at pretty much the bottom of page 329 to the paragraph that starts out the talents. And the last thing that we were discussing is that this parable that Christ gave was bringing out the idea that whatever talents and gifts God has blessed us with, that we're not to ignore them or we're not to misuse them, but we're to use them in the proper way. And by using them, God will give us more. So here we see the idea that whatever gifts God has given you are to be used. They're not to be neglected. And there's a whole lot of gifts and talents out there. We learned last time is a talent. Well, how many people have that talent? Well, every single person that has time on their hands, right? So we see that every single individual that has ever been created on this earth has one talent, at least one, time. But there's so many other talents. So you can realize that there may not be another individual on the earth that only has one talent. Everyone has more than one. So why did Christ give a parable bringing out the idea that there's someone that only has one talent? We'll find out more as we continue. So let's pick it up at this new paragraph. The talents, however few, are to be put to use. The question that most concerns us is not, how much have I received? But what am I doing with that which I have? The development of all our powers is the first duty we owe to God and to our fellow men. No one who is not growing daily in capability and usefulness is fulfilling the purpose of life. In making a profession of faith in Christ, we pledge ourselves to become all that it is possible for us to be as workers for the Master, and we should cultivate every faculty to the highest degree of perfection that we may do the greatest amount of good of which we are capable. So all our talents are to be put to use. And it's human nature to look upon how many talents we have compared to how many talents someone else has. That's just human nature. But here we see that the question that is most important is, what am I doing with that which I have? So that means our focus is upon what talents we have and what we're doing with those talents, instead of focusing away from what God has blessed us with onto someone else and comparing ourselves, measuring ourselves among ourselves. The focus is, what am I doing with what God has blessed me with? And so if you recognize that God has given you the talent of speech or the talent of discernment or the talent to be able to sympathize or empathize with others, your first duty is to God. How are you using that talent, that gift for God? And after you've seeing what you can do with your talent to glorify God, the next question is, how am I using this talent to benefit others? So God comes first, then others come next. So let's say you have the gift of speech. You're able to communicate without any language barrier, right? I know individuals that are able, even though they don't know the language, they're able to communicate, which is amazing to me. I struggle to grasp words to use. And so my ability to be able to speak with a language barrier is tremendously weak. But to other individuals, it's easy. They find a way, right? So what if you have the talent of speech? How are you using it for God? How are you using it to benefit others? And let's say that you're a tremendous orator. You're able to speak forth words without looking at notes, right? You're able to deal with the subject matter in a very clear, concise, and full way. What are you to do with that particular talent? Are you just to be happy with how accomplished you are? What we read here is that we need to be growing daily in capability and usefulness so that we may fulfill the purpose of life, the reason that God gave you life. It was a purpose. It's not happenstance. God miraculously allowed the egg to be fertilized and an individual to grow in the womb, to have birth, to have life, to be able to grow without any accidents taking away that life. So it's not by happenstance that God has allowed you to reach to this stage of development, however old or young you may be. There's a purpose in it. And that purpose, part of it, is to utilize your capabilities in growing them to the highest possible level, the highest degree of perfection. And the reason is that the greater the proficiency of whatever talent you have means you can accomplish the greatest amount of good. So each and every one of us has talents. And we owe it to God and to one another to daily increase the usefulness, the capacity of these talents. And as we do so, God will then open up ways for other talents to be utilized with us. Remember, we learned last time that every individual that has accepted Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit gives them particular gifts. And these gifts are already theirs, but they're latent. They're kind of hidden in the heart. So as you utilize the few gifts you have, the Spirit will then awaken these other gifts and talents that you already possess because of your acceptance of Christ. So when you feel that you're filled up, then empty yourself. Use your talents to glorify God and to benefit your fellow human beings. And then God will fill you up with more. Any thoughts, comments, questions, insights? Please go right ahead.
I have a thought, and that is concerning talents and concerning the ones that we have. And I believe that very much, that we easily each, as you have mentioned before, dear brother, have at least one talent. And you stated that was time, and that is talent. Yet I also believe very much that God is exceedingly benevolent and full of generosity. So we probably all have more than just one little talent. And we can use that talent right where we're at in our own home, whether it be being, if we have skill in gardening, okay, then we use that and we use that to God's glory, to be able to grow, different fruits or vegetables. And then it's not just for us. And yes, it gives God glory, but more than likely, I believe the Lord will bless it and there will be more. And then you have neighbors that will be able to be blessed with your crop also. And that would go to other talents of which we had mentioned before, being, you know, a very good listener. And nowadays, I had come across a story where there is a person that's in very, very dire straits with the stress of life, and they live in a very, I would like to say war-torn area, really, and is really intense on them. Yet someone with a good talent to be able to listen and give them godly encouragement, that's a talent that I believe many people, even in this country too, they could use those kinds of talents too. They would be able to be benefited, and God would bless that, and that person may, by that same mercy and grace from God, come to the Lord and then be one with a new testimony to go forth and bless others. So that's kind of all I see with how our talents will work, and we give our lives to the Lord is for a reason, and we are alive for a reason, not for our own self, which we lived many years on our own in our own self. Now we live for the Lord. So there's much blessing in what little talent that we have, or multiple talents. There's much blessing in that. It's very exciting.
Amen. Amen. And a lot of individuals don't recognize time as a talent, or these other, what they may look upon as very little or maybe insignificant areas. But here we're seeing that it's even in these little areas that you can use to God's glory in benefiting others. And so a lot of talents have been overlooked, not being recognized for their importance. But they are very important. Even just a smile that you give to a perfect stranger can go a long way in determining whether they have a good day or a bad day. It's amazing, dear ones. Just opening a door for someone can go a long way into changing the whole spirit of themselves and their particular life experience at that point. So here we're getting into an area of sharing your faith without words, without handing them a track, you know? It's revealing Christ in your actions. And sometimes that does so much more to reach the heart than the greatest sermon that was ever preached. Revealing Christ in your life is the best sermon of all. And the great thing about that is you don't have to learn how to become a pastor or an elder, because even a little child can share Christ with others, and that makes them one of the greatest ministers of all. And that's quite astounding to think about. It. So the question, not how many talents I have, but what am I doing with the talents I possess currently? How am I using those to glorify God? How am I using those to benefit others? And am I becoming more proficient in these talents? Are there weak areas in these talents? If there's weak areas, then there's ability to grow so that the weak is overcome and now becomes strong.
I have a question with that one, dear brother, and that's this. We've all heard, or most of us have heard the saying, jack of all trades, master of none. Okay. How do you get to a point where, okay, you can say, okay, I can do this, I can do a little of this, do a little of this, and then actually realize or hear from the Lord, look, yeah, you can, but this is what I really want you to be putting all the energy I've given you in life towards, that this is your purpose. So it's like, yeah, you can help here, you can help there, you have a little knowledge here, a little knowledge there, just enough to be dangerous, but you really may even feel like, where's my direction at? Because there's all this everywhere, and I really would like to know the focus of what all that is. So I kind of wonder, when we're talking about all these talents, how does it come down to where we can finally, I mean, do people start to help, the Lord starts letting people tell us something and give us a hint, or I've done that, prayed many times about that, and still kind of wonder, okay, where's the answer? But, and others may be in the same situation. So I just put all that out there in one big lump like that because I wonder.
I understand, dear brother. Proverbs says there is a time and purpose for every area under heaven, right? So let's say you have five talents, but you're not very good at multitasking. Your focus needs to be on one thing so that it can be accomplished to the best of your ability before you move on. Okay. So even though you have five talents, your mental capacity can only handle one at a time. So focus on that one. God may open up a particular door in which one of those five talents is more needed than the others. So then take that open door, that opportunity, and utilize that one talent to the best of your ability. Now, other people can multitask, and they can focus on many things at once and still make progress in all of those things. I'm not one of those people. I have great difficulty trying to focus on more than one thing at a time. I mean, big things, right? If I'm doing a sermon or something, I can only focus on that particular subject matter. And if I, in my research, come across a verse that opens up another line of thought, if I focus on that line of thought, now I'm no longer in the topic of the sermon. So it's like diverting my attention away from that topic. So I will write it down on a separate sheet of paper to look further into this particular verse, and I'll jot down the thought that came to mind so I can recall it. But other individuals, they have that capacity to have a whole bunch of things all kind of interrelated and handle all kinds of things interrelated, right? And that is a blessing. That's a particular talent I don't have. But that is a blessing to be able to multitask and not lose focus on any of those things. Now, I know of other individuals that desire to multitask, and they take on these other projects all at once, and they don't make much progress in any of them. So that may be a weakness that they need to look into, so that they drop off some of, you know, they figure out, okay, I can multitask three things at once, but if I go four and five and six, I lose it. So that's something that they need to focus on, those weak areas. But let's say God opens up a door for you to evangelize one day. So utilize that gift if you have the gift of being an evangelist, able to talk to people well, steer the conversation to Christ, bring up areas of truth and reach their hearts, etc. God is opening the door for you that day to develop that talent more fully. Let's say the next day it's bad weather, you can't go out, right? Well, what other talent is God opening up for you in those particular circumstances? So we need to be alert. We need to know what talents we have, how strong or weak they are, and see what we can do in that day's activities to develop our talents. But we also need to be aware that God's in control. And so if he sees that today, this particular talent you have is going to be more beneficial for what he has outlined for you that day, then you need to alter your plans, change your focus, so that this other talent here is utilized and can grow and develop and do the greatest amount of good at that particular level of proficiency. So there's a lot involved in growing our talents, and it depends on the mental status and faculty capabilities of each individual, how they grow those talents. And of course, only through the grace and strength of Christ. But it depends each day, and God is in control of our life. So whatever door he opens up for that particular day is his purpose for that or those particular talents to be utilized for his glory in benefiting others. So you can recognize that when you wake up in the morning, part of your communication with God is, Lord, what would you have me do today to bring glory to your name and to help one another? So you're basically giving him permission to arrange your day according to his will. Any other thoughts or comments? Any follow-up questions, dear brother? Please feel free.
Yes. Thank you so much. I do have a follow-up question on that. And that is, I believe I have seen a few instances in God's Word, and also I think I saw one or two in Spirit of Prophecy in regards to someone kind of like, you know, they're trying to do something, but they really do it, but they really don't have the real skills to do that, but they want that. And they are approached, you know, in a kind way, and they're given insight on where they really do have their better talents at, and people think can see it, but they can't see it. And so I wonder, is that something also that the Lord uses too in the, you know, in this day? Well, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, to also nudge, you know, his children to open their eyes. Don't be so stubborn. This is what you have the skill to do. Do that and I'll bless you. I mean, I know I'm saying a lot, but is that something? Because some people, they do have a certain desire to be doing something, yet their talents that God has given them and people can see it in them, but they either can't see it either because they're too stubborn, they don't want that, or because they just can't see it. So I'm kind of wondering, how does that?
Yeah. I mean, God blesses an individual according to that which they have, not that which they do not have. So if you want to be a great writer, that's your desire, but you don't have any talents for writing. Ask God for the talent of writing, right? But if he doesn't bless you with it, or perhaps not at that particular time in your life, then it would be like spinning your wheels and going nowhere to continue to focus in that particular area. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never become a writer, but at that point in time, it's not going to accomplish much. So you would be better able to use the talents you already have to the very best capability instead of focusing your energy in something you do not have or perhaps do not yet have. And in giving it to God, then you would no longer worry about that. You'd still desire the ability to write, right? But you wouldn't have so much anxiety for it, because now you've asked God, if it's his will, to bless you with that talent you do not yet have. And you trust him that if it's his will, you have that writing talent, that it will come. The door will open at the proper time. So now you've given it to God. You're waiting on the Lord. And the promise is he will strengthen your heart so that you'll have more patience and you won't worry about it and you won't pine over the fact you don't have it yet. You will allow God to control in that desire. And if it's his will that you do become a writer, then he will open that area for you in the future. So many people want to be the greatest missionary ever, right? They look at Christ's life, they want to imitate his life, and they want to be the best missionary they can possibly be. But they look upon the idea of missionaries as someone who leaves their home and travels to a land or to a different community and works for the Lord full time. But they may not yet be ready to be a foreign missionary. They don't yet have their talent built up to the point that they can accomplish the greatest good in a foreign country. And what they're doing is they're overlooking the aspect of what a missionary is. A missionary is to lead individuals to Christ. It's to reach them on their level and lift them up to the Savior. That's what a missionary is. That's what their work is. So they don't have to travel to a foreign country in order to be a missionary. They can begin right where they are, in their own family, in their own block, in their own community, in their own county, in their own state, right? But because they have it in their mind that they can't be a missionary unless they travel somewhere, then they overlook the good, the missionary good that they can do right where they currently are. So if God has blessed you with an evangelistic capability, utilize it where you are. And in developing that faculty, that talent to the highest degree of perfection, now God may open up the doors for you to travel and be a great missionary in that area. Yeah, that's true. That's true. The comment says the Lord uses various discerning people to nudge you in a better direction. Or it's like having more faith in what other people say or think. That, I mean, we're to take counsel from others and weigh their instruction, whether it's good or bad. If it's good, well, then there's no harm in following it, even though it may be contrary to what you may think or desire. That's very true. And that's part of edifying one another. It's part of the benefit of fellowshipping together with others of like faith. And a lot of times we are blinded to our strengths and our weaknesses. And others are very discerning in that area. So God may impress upon their hearts to come and talk to us saying, you know, I see that you have this particular gift that you can grow even more. Here are some thoughts to help, right? Or I see that you have this area in which you're putting a lot of energy in, but it's not really accomplishing much. Perhaps you should use your energy in a different direction. You know, so instead of being critical, instead of being judgmental, it's more of a helping hand. Hey, this is what I've seen. Do you see the same thing, right? You know, so it's more of a helping hand. You referred to it as a nudge, right? It's more of a helping nudge instead of trying to discourage an individual from increasing their gifts, which some people do out of jealousy. Any other thoughts or insights, dear ones?
Miss Southland, everyone. I have a comment that goes along with what we're learning through here is another garden lesson concerned more or about fruit. It goes along with more learning of the talents. It says here that in producing fruit, the branch unselfishly sacrifices itself. Well, it yields up its own life for the sake of another life that is to spring from it. This other life, the fruit, also unselfishly gives up its life to keep the species going. For fruit is meant to be sown as well as James 3:18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Every fruit-bearing season shortens the life of the tree. Fruit trees are the most short-lived of all the trees, and cultivated fruit trees are less vigorous and do not live as long as the wild varieties. Producing larger, more abundant fruit compared to wild varieties, they necessarily exhaust their vital energy. In proportion to the largeness, the juiciness, and the abundance of the fruit which they yield, so much as to the life of the tree shortened. The fruit tree or bush sacrifices its own vitality that might have gone into luxuriously widespread branches or a lofty height. And for the sake of the life that is to spring from it, it uses the energy instead for the blossoms and fruit that fall off. The fruit produced does not benefit the tree itself. It is for others. It is like an object lesson of the unselfish self-denial. That is the nature of God's children. The fruit of the righteous produced is their self-denying labors and using their talents for others. They are part figures of the unselfish nature of him who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. Fruit is the natural product of a renewed and loving nature. It is not born of forced obedience. Out of the loss and pain of self-sacrifice comes the joy of the Lord. The purest and deepest joy known to the human spent, just so the fruit of rich flavor and appealing beauty is the result of the self-sacrifice of the fruit-bearing plant or tree. It is the law of life that one part of the plant or tree must die in order that another part may grow and perfect itself. Therefore, we find the mellow of fruits of fall amid the fading yellow leaves of autumn, with the ornaments of gloriously colored fruit, graceful form, sweet with perfume and rich with flavor, so will it be done for the righteous. Upon himself shall his crown flourish, that thy profiting may appear to all. Psalm 132:18, 1 Timothy 4:15. The fruits we grow in the United States, for the most part, originated in other countries. Apples, cherries, and pears came from Europe and Western Asia. Apricots and peaches came from China, and while lemons and oranges came from China and Southeast Asia. Most fruit plants need a good supply of moisture. Dates and olives are two to the few fruits that can grow in a dry area. But the abilities of trees are different, even as the abilities of people are. Some can thrive in a harsh, bare place where others would wither. God knows our nature. He places us in the circumstances we need. There is infinite wisdom in the planning of the Lord. Isaiah 61:3. Horticulturists put fruits into three groups according to temperatures needed for growth. One are the temperate fruits, and two are the subtropical and fruits, and three are the just regular tropical fruits. The temperate fruits need a yearly cultivation to grow properly. They are raised mainly between the tropics and the polar areas. Most temperate fruits grow in Europe, North America, Asia, and Australia. Temperate fruits are apples, apricots, cherries, peaches, pears, and plums. Also, most small fruits which grow on plants smaller than trees are raised in temperate areas. They include blueberries, cranberries, grapes, raspberries, and strawberries. The temperate zone grows many fruits like the servant with many five talents. Five is the number that marks the plants of the rose family in which many of the temperate fruits belong, such as apples, peaches, cherries, plums, strawberries, and almonds. Their blossoms have five petals and the calyx has five sepals. Five is also the number of man's toes and fingers. Man is from the family of the Rose of Sharon, according to Song of Solomon 2:1. Grace, whose symbolic number is five, should mark the works of his hands and the path of his feet. Subtropical fruits need warmer and milder temperatures throughout the year, but can live with an occasional light frost. The most chiefly grown subtropical fruits are citrus fruits, which include grapefruit, lemons, limes, and oranges. Other subtropical fruits are dates, figs, olives, and avocados. Citrus fruits can be tart, but also sweet. So in each fruitful life, God blends trials with sweet experiences. In this way, each person's life takes on a unique flavor. And finally, tropical fruits are grown in the tropics and cannot survive even a like frost. Bananas and pineapple are the best known tropical fruits. Other tropical fruits include acerolas, cherimoyas, wheat teas, mangoes, mangosteens, and papayas. The tropical zone can be likened to a man with one talent. He was in the sunshine with all the advantages, but his selfish character did not even develop his one talent. Have you ever noticed how the life-giving sunshine shines on every part of the land and how the gentle, refreshing rain falls all over all of the earth and on all the trees and bushes and plants and yet some bring forth poisonous berries while others bear beautiful fragrant blossoms and useful fruit? So it is in the Lord's spiritual garden where his human trees are planted. His gentle, loving, tender spirit comes to each one, being with all seeking him, entrance into their hearts and drawing them to God. Those who yield to his movements and open their hearts to his sweet influence, he will fill with selfish fruit. Just as the rain and sunshine load the trees with fruitfulness. Mark 4:20 says, such bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But those who harden their hearts to the Spirit's influence by refusing to let him in will bear poisonous, unprofitable fruit. Will you choose to be a good tree and yield your life to God in unselfish service? Well, now we see all the different types of fruits and how they're compared to the three servants with the three with the different talents. Just as a fruit who gives their lives so that they can be eaten, so we can all stay healthy, and even as the branches gave their lives so that the fruit can be reached and taken from them, that's even the case. Jesus had in store for to save his people, in other words, all of us, all those who trust him from back then, now, and even in the near next future. So that way we can be redeemed in this life and the life to come. The three servants used all the talents they had and gave everything that they did in order to gain more, to give it back to their master. So that's even the case for us. All the services that we do aren't just for us. It's also for God's sake. That way, everything that we're doing in our power is all to give grace, give thanks, and give glory to him. And we shall always be grateful. Well, we shouldn't be like the unfaithful servant who didn't use any time at all for that one coin. That's a bad example for those who rather work for themselves and those that have got completely out of thought. But with the Lord's help, we can be able to reason with many and not to follow the same action. That all the work that they should do, not just to keep themselves or their family and just their families alive, but also that they may be kept alive spiritually. That way God can secure them and even rescue them from all times of trouble. After all, that's in the plan God had in mind for us, so that all his people all over the world can know about him and love him as we do. Of course, sure, not everybody. He's got to take it seriously. Some we not even care at all, but it's still worth the task we have to handle. After all, that is what God intended for us to do. And that's the comment I want to give.
Amen. Great insights, dear brother. And it's amazing. I've seen some fruit trees that they focused all their energy on the branches that were producing fruit, and they let other branches that just had leaves die. Talk about self-sacrifice, right? It was amazing to recognize that and to see the lesson that was brought out. So, amen. Thank you, dear brother. Any other thoughts or comments or insights, dear ones?
I have a question. Should we be embarking on a talent that we don't, that we are not blessed with? I mean, I know that for the most part, we're encouraged to increase talents. And even if we're given one talent, we might get another talent or and such. But should we embark on talents that we don't have? I don't know if I'm saying that right, but should we try even if we see that we what that we can't, we don't really have what it takes for that talent? Should we even try?
I understand. It's similar to our dear brother Joel's question. Again, it deals with timing. For a non-Christian, they're going to spend their time in whatever area that they desire to. But for a Christian, we've given our life to Christ. He's purchased us. We willingly give ourselves to him. So then whatever talents we have or do not yet have are in his control. So instead of saying, Lord, I want this talent and I'm going to put all my efforts into gaining this talent, that's kind of controlling God. So you haven't really given Christ your life. You still want to hold on to it. You want to do what you want to do. You want to invest in areas that you like instead of submitting yourself to Christ and letting him mold your likes and dislikes, right? And what I was bringing out before is if you really desire a particular talent that you do not yet have, ask God for it and then leave it with him. As a Christian, you know that God has your best interest in mind and he will only allow what's best for your welfare to occur. So if God sees it best for you to have that talent at some point in the future, then praise God. If God sees it's not best for you to ever have that talent, well, God knows better than you do, right? God sees the future. He knows exactly the trials, the situations that you're going to be in the future. And he also sees what gifts and talents you need to be able to best deal with the situations in the future. So if God never blesses you with that talent, it's because God saw that you didn't need it in order to continue growing in the Christian life and obtain salvation. So then, for you to expend energy in trying to gain a talent that God sees will not benefit you at all, it's wasted energy. It's wasted time. It's wasted anxiety, right? Instead of it benefiting you in giving glory to God and ministering or helping your fellow mankind. So the whole issue is submitting to God's wisdom. And that's sacrificing self, isn't it? That's the very foundation of a Christian life, self-sacrifice. So for a Christian to focus their attention in areas that God has not blessed them with is robbing God and robbing your fellow mankind of what you could have done for them, but you were involved in things of no profit at that point.
I have a question. Some talents require a lot of practice, like in music. But don't be too quick to think that you're not talented because you haven't practiced enough. It all takes practice, and with God's help, that talent can be developed. So my question is this, after many years of practice and you don't seem to be going anywhere with it, can you be considered as not having a talent and just persisting because you think you do?
Perhaps that would be a question you need to ask God. I know with myself, I liked music. I had a desire to learn music, but I was incapable of being able to play with my left hand doing the lower keys and my right hand doing the melody. That combination of both hands working at the same time, I just could not bring it about. So even though I liked music, I was not capable of being able to play music. So the area of music was kind of closed to me. Now, through practice, maybe I could have developed that right side of my brain that controls the left side, you know. Maybe through practice, I could have strengthened that weakness, if it was a weakness and not an inability. But I did not pursue that particular area. And looking back at that to what God has brought me through now, it may have been somewhat of a detriment to me if I would have gone into that field of music like I wanted to, versus what God led me into and then led me out of to come into the ministry. So it may be a lost gift that God wanted me to pursue, and for that, I'm sorry, Lord. Or it could have been an area that God didn't want me to pursue because it would have led in a different direction from what he was leading me towards so that I could come into the ministry. God knows, I don't, right? But let me give you an example of a talent that a person desires, but he's incapable of obtaining it. Someone who's tone deaf. If you don't understand what tone deaf is, it means you can hear the melody, but you can't reproduce it. You're tone deaf. When you start to sing, the note that you're trying to reach in harmony, you can't detect that you're not reaching it. That's tone deafness. So someone that's tone deaf doesn't have the talent of singing. So for them to pursue the singing career, right, developing the talent of singing is a wasted opportunity. It's a wasted amount of time. Now, there's nothing wrong with a tone deaf person singing their heart out to God, right? Even joining in singing in the home church here or other places. But for them to desire a career in singing would be a wasted time. So we need to recognize what God has blessed us with and then see what talents come along with that particular capability. So instead of grasping for something we're never going to be able to get, we need to focus on what God has already blessed us with and use the talents to the very highest degree of perfection possible, of course, only through his grace and strength.
I have to say this, of course. Elder Robert and I used to play a duet on the piano, and he did very well with one hand, and he played the upper part of the duet, and I played the bottom part. And the song was "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," and we did very well together on the piano. So he does have the musical ability, and he does sing on key, and I love to hear him sing too. Praise the Lord.
Amen. It's a joy to sing praises to God, but I don't have the voice to be a talented singer. So I can sing, right? And I'm on key, but I don't have the voice to be a singer, put it that way. So that particular talent can be limited, but it's still there. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
I have a thought. This one is when a person doesn't even know that they have talent. And God places things in their life. And eventually he brings it out. I'll give an example. When the Lord called the fishermen, they were fishermen by trade, but they never knew that that fisherman trade was going to come to be a point where Jesus was going to use it to become fishers of men. So they really didn't know. I really believe sometimes that the Lord will allow an individual to go into certain trades in their life, not knowing that it's going to be used for his glory because they don't know God yet. I used to be a researcher in Wall Street. That was the first job that I had. They had some little microchip, little cart, like plastic, and it has a lot of information concerning banking. And some people that may not have the knowledge of the check that they made or even what it was made for, they used to call the commands in Prudential base, and they would say, well, I'm going to court and I have this checking. I don't know why it was made for, but it was done in June. I don't know the year. So now I have to actually take the microchip and put it into this machine and look for that check. It's like one little thing in so many different areas of the year that it was talking about. But you never know that with that, the Lord had help. Like sometimes when I'm seeking for something in the Bible, the patience that I have to look for it, I think the Lord really kind of helped me along with the work that I used to do before. I love to research. I love to find things. And sometimes when you're looking for something, you find something else. Something happened to me yesterday. I remember there was a question. I don't know which one of the brothers and sisters had it last week, that they wanted to know if the 144,000 was like a 10%. I was reading something and I found the statement where it said holiness to the Lord. And it was mentioning, the redeemed. And I decided to take the holiness to the Lord and started to do more research on it. And I found some very beautiful things. And the research helps to open different area that if you wasn't looking for something, you would have never saw it. I said, oh my God, it's here. So, I just wanted to be able to share that. And, being that God knows what we came to this world, we may not know, but he does. And eventually in the time appointed, the Lord will be able to bring to you, and especially you will be visited by what the Lord wants you to do in life, because I never saw this coming nowhere in my life. I was more drawn to business administration. I never knew that the Lord was going to pull me out of there to be able to come towards, you know, basically giving my life to him. So I really believe that sometimes we may not know, but praise God in the heavens that he does.
Amen. Great point, dear sister. Any other thoughts or comments? Dear Sister Grace, did you have another question?
No. But I would say, based on everything that I heard, I understand that whether we have known talents, whether we are pursuing a talent that we not sure that we have, or we want a talent that we don't have, yes, we should put it all in the hands of the Lord. And because, as was said here, God knows what we were meant to do, especially in the line of his work. So yeah, I really do understood that, and praise God for that.
Yeah, amen. Amen. And areas that we had no desire to develop, right? In time, God can lead in that area to where our desires change. For instance, when I was going through school, I did not want to be a minister. I did when I was younger, right? But going through school, I had no desire to take ministerial courses. Going into college, I had no desire to take a ministerial course. I did not have the ability to speak well. I stumble over words. I find it hard to be able to talk to people that I don't know. So the whole idea of sharing Christ with others, strangers, right, was not appealing to me. Now, those I knew, I had no trouble sharing Christ, but the whole idea of preaching to others was not something that I desired. But as time went along, God changed that whole outlook, awakened talents that I did not know I possessed. I still find it very difficult to talk to strangers. But when God opens the door for me to preach, he gives me the words and they just come out when I need them, you know? It's a talent that God awakened within me, even though I did not desire it, if you understand. When I was younger, I did. I wanted to be a minister. I wanted to be able to preach. But the older I got and the more deeper into schoolwork that I became going through college, I did not desire to be a minister anymore. But God saw what through him would be capable of achieving. And some know this, many don't. When I first accepted the sharing of my studies with other preaching, I did it by faith. I could not stand to preach. I had to sit down at a desk, and I had all my books out there on the desk. I could not stand and preach. And I could not stand and preach for about 3 years of the early ministry. So God takes the weak things and through his grace and strength turns them into greater things. And I'm by no means great. I'm just sharing with you the weakness that I had, and now that weakness is become stronger through Christ. I'm able to lead out here in the adult Sabbath school without having any notes. I allow God to reveal what he once shared just in the topic matter that we're reading, that we're dealing with. Whereas before, that was an impossibility. So God does indeed take the weak things and through his grace turns them into strong things, takes talents that you didn't know you possessed, and through his grace and strength enables them to become talents of proficiency. But without Christ, all of our talents mean nothing. Through Christ, our talents are able to bring glory to God and to benefit our fellow men and women and children. So praise be to God.
I feel impressed to tell this story. We had a singing group when Elder Robert was a teenager, and we went to the nursing home. It started with the early teen group in church, and we would go to the nursing home after church every week and sing and interact with the patients there. We had this one young boy in our group who was tone deaf. But he had this huge smile, and he was so happy to be included in our group. But he couldn't sing a right note. And it was very evident when we were singing that there was someone off key. And he enjoyed being with a group. We enjoyed having him with us. So God kind of put a little bug in my ear about how we could help Charlie stay with the group. I handed him a microphone and I told him he had to sing very low because he had a microphone and we didn't want his voice to overshadow everyone else's. And he could do that because the microphone would help his voice to be heard. But we didn't turn the microphone on. And that way he could stay in the group. He could sing with us and not disturb the music. And it worked out very well. The patients loved him because of his smile and his interaction with them. And that is how we got around that problem. I won't say that God asked us to lie, because God doesn't believe in lying. That's one of the sins that took us down, was lying. But anyway, there is a way to work things out if brothers and sisters will not look at what is wrong with one another, but try to help them get around that problem. And it's called love. And that's what we all need. And thank God he gave us the love for Charlie to help Charlie stay in the group. I heard from Charlie years later. He wrote a letter saying that he had joined the army and had started a singing group. And I praise God for that, because that poor child was really tone deaf. But look what he was able to do with a talent that was encouraged by fellow brothers and sisters. And I praise God that I was a part of that.
Yeah, so sometimes the Lord enables us to have a talent even though we have limitations. And he will find a way so that those limitations no longer limit our ability to make that talent the best possible. God is a miracle-working God, most assuredly. Well, next time, we will pick it up at the paragraph about a third of the way down on page 330 that starts out, "The Lord has a great work to be done." Who's he going to use to accomplish that great work? I think you already know. Even a child has a part to play in accomplishing the fulfillment of God's great work. We'll find out more next time. So what are you doing with the talents that God has blessed you with that you know about? That's the question that's utmost to be answered by each one of us. What am I doing with my talents? And who would like to offer closing prayer for our service?
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for showing us a way to love others. Thank you for giving us this love that we wouldn't have if it weren't for you. Be with us for the rest of this program. Be with our speaker. Give him words from on high. And forgive us, Lord, where we've failed to carry out your plans for us, but enlighten us with the way we should go and help us to stay in that way. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for the Sabbath day. Thank you for all of these things you've done for us with your great love, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And remember, dear ones, God is a miracle-working God today as much as he was in the past. So don't limit him. Have faith. Let us take a 12-minute break and then return back here at 12 noon Pacific or 3 p.m. Eastern. for our main church service. But we'll see you then, dear one.